If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 9. As I was thinking about what a good passage would be to look at today, I became drawn to the book of Proverbs and was reading Proverbs, and I became persuaded that I think that's a good passage, a good place for us to start this morning. And we're really going to, I'm going to read through Proverbs chapter 9, but we're going to try to do something a little different. We're going to try to cover the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs together. So we'll see how it goes. I see all the doors are closed, so you can't run away. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult, and whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Before we go any further, it would be good for us to pray and ask the Lord for his blessing on his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and this opportunity we have as believers in your Son, Jesus Christ, to gather together in fellowship and to study your word. We ask for your blessing now on this time. Help us to understand your word. Help us to be transformed by it. Speak to us today, we pray. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were to ask somebody today, what is wisdom and where can we find it? I wonder what they would say. I think probably for most people, in the world today, wisdom is the pursuit of long life and prosperity. That was the message of Star Trek, to live long and prosper, right? That's the message I think that many people today are pursuing. How can I live long and how can I prosper in life? How can I have a family? That's probably part of it. And how can I be wealthy? And how can I live as long as possible so that I can enjoy that family and that wealth for as long as possible? And if you're in the supermarket line and the checkout line, you're surrounded by magazines on either side of you. And what's the topic of most of these magazines? Well, generally there's a lot that deal with health-related issues. Magazines that teach you how to be healthy, magazines with recipes, the latest diet. And then there's also a lot of times magazines in the magazine rack on finances, on wealth, on investing. This is what people want today. And it's nothing wrong with pursuing health, nothing wrong with pursuing wealth and trying to have that in life. But if that is the only thing that people pursue, they're missing something. I've read that the investor Warren Buffett offers an opportunity once a year for people to purchase in an auction an opportunity to have lunch with him. And I think this past year, I don't remember the exact number, but I think somebody paid $2 million in an auction just so that they could have lunch with him and tap into the wisdom that he has, that he's a wise sage that people want to come to so they can learn how they can have the kind of wealth that he has been able to have in life. Well, what's the wisdom of the book of Proverbs? I mentioned we read chapter 9, and I mentioned we're going to try to look at the first 9 chapters as a whole today. And the message of the first 9 chapters and the book as a whole, the larger whole of the book of Proverbs, I believe, is how to live life in this world and how to find life that is lasting, how to find life that is eternal. That's the wisdom that we see in the book of Proverbs. In the first 9 chapters, the reason I want to try to cover this with you today is that chapters 1 through 9 really tell one story. And it's all connected. It's almost like a large parable. And it's very interesting to see. And I'm going to try to point this out for you today, help you to see this story in these first 9 chapters, where we see one man's quest for wisdom. To find this wisdom talked about in the book of Proverbs, how to live life and how to find life that is lasting and life that is eternal. And there's several characters in this story, and we've met two of them already in chapter 9. Two women, one's called Lady Wisdom, and one is called Lady Folly. Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly are pictured as living in a city in chapter 9, and they have houses. And their houses are both built on the highest place of the city. And in ancient cities, the high place, the highest place, was the holiest place. And that was the place where the temple was built. That was the place where sacrifices were made, where worship took place. If you're familiar with the city of Jerusalem, the temple was built on the highest place of the city of Jerusalem within the city walls. So you're looking inside the city walls of Jerusalem. The highest place was the place where the temple was built. And that's what we see pictured here. We see a picture of Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, both dwelling at the high places of the city, and both are calling out. They're calling out to the simple, and they're telling the simple to come and dwell in their houses, and to come and follow their ways. And we're told that Lady Folly's house is one that is in order. She's disciplined. She has maids. She sends them out into the city. We're told that Lady Folly is loud and that she's undisciplined. Verse 13, she's without knowledge. And she calls out to those who pass by, those who are simple and who lack judgment, calling them to come into her house, telling them that stolen water is sweet, food eaten in secret is delicious. But verse 18, little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of the grave. So we see a contrast. Lady Folly, her house, she's calling out to the simple, and her house is where the dead dwell. We see the house of Lady Wisdom, she calls out to the simple-minded, and it's in her house that life is found. So these are two of our characters in these first 9 chapters of Proverbs. And you see throughout these chapters, you'll see Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly referred to repeatedly. But if we go back with me to Proverbs chapter 1, we see our hero. The hero of this story, we meet in chapter 1, verse 8, and his name is the sun. We see a picture in verses 8 and 9 of Proverbs chapter 1 of a son who is being instructed by his father and his mother. It says in verse 8, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. It will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." So it's a picture of a father and mother informing this son about the ways of wisdom. And they're telling him about this city where Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom dwell. And they're informing him about this journey that he'll be going on. It's the journey of life as he'll be encountering Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom along his way. And in Proverbs chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, each of these chapters begin with a reference to the sun. You look at that with me. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. And here we see a son in the plural talking about sons, because the son of this story obviously represents a larger group of people that are being educated about the ways of wisdom. So we see in chapter 4, verse 1, a reference to my sons. Chapter 5, verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight. Chapter 6, verse 1, my son. Chapter 7, verse 1, my son. And then in chapter 8, chapter 7, we see a detailed description of Lady Folly, what she's like, how she behaves. And then in chapter 8, we see a detailed description of Lady Wisdom, what she is like, how she behaves. And then we come to chapter 9, the chapter we began with this morning, where we see a picture of the city where Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly both dwell. And so we can see here this larger story that's being told in these first 9 chapters. It's almost like a parable, like Jesus would have told in the New Testament, where the point of it is to show people the way of wisdom versus the way of folly. And the son's informed about the habits and the way that Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom live their lives. He's warned also about the city, and he's warned about crooked paths that are in the city in chapter 2. But in chapters 3 and 4, he's told about the paths that are straight and level. And he's told to take the paths that are straight and level. And of course, we've read about Lady Folly's house where he'll find death. And he's told of Wisdom's house where he will find life, where years will be added to his life. And he's warned of Lady Folly's deceptive ways in chapter 7. Chapter 8, he's told of Lady Wisdom's ways. But Lady Folly is one, if you look at chapter 7, who comes out at the night. She comes out late at night. She walks the streets. She searches for those who are foolish. And she tries to deceive them with smooth talk. And she persuades them to follow her. She leads them astray, off the straight paths. She seduces them. And verse 22 of chapter 7, we're told that all at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. She is evil. Her message is enticing, but her way leads to death. And she lives in secret. She comes out at night. She tries to lead people away off the straight path. But then we're told in chapter 8 about, in detail, about Lady Wisdom, that she is most precious, that she is wise, and that she calls out in the public places. She's at the head of noisy streets, at the crossroads. She's in the public square. She comes out at daytime, cries out to the simple-minded, and tells them to leave their foolish ways behind and to follow her, to come and dwell in her house. And so we see that oftentimes the message of Lady Wisdom is the message that people do not want to hear. Oftentimes her message is one of rebuke, saying, leave your simple ways. You might think of the times when she calls out to the sluggard, how long, O sluggard, will you lie there? You know, get up and work. Observe the ant. See how the ant works. This is the message of Lady Folly. It's not oftentimes the message that people want to hear. And we see this reflected back in chapter 9. Very interesting set of verses where Lady Wisdom tells us in verse 7, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. So if somebody is a mocker, or if they're wicked, and you rebuke them or you try to instruct them, they're going to attack you because they don't want to be corrected. But then she tells us in verse 8, rebuke a wise man and he will be wiser still. You know, that sounds like a way to start a good fight. If we think we're wise, we think we've found the way of wisdom, and then somebody comes and rebukes us? Are we going to love them? Well, Lady Wisdom tells us, verse chapter 9, that the one who is truly wise will love that person who rebukes them, because that person sees something in our life that we can't see ourselves. And they've just made us wiser. They've showed us something in our own lives that we couldn't see. And we've become wiser, we've become smarter, we've increased in our own understanding. That's the ways of Lady Wisdom. Both call out to the simple, both tell them to dwell in their house. And so this is our story. Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, a city, a crowded city with streets that are level and straight and level, streets that are crooked. We weren't told of the dark night when Lady Folly comes out and tries to deceive the foolish. We're told of Lady Wisdom, who comes out in the day to the public places and cries out to the people, "Come follow me." And this is the mother and father teaching their son, trying to persuade him of the way of wisdom. This is his quest as he journeys through life to find the path that is wise and to stay on that path and to dwell in the house of Lady Wisdom. So what would his reward be, this son? We've seen he's our hero. We've seen his quest, that he's pursuing Lady Wisdom through life. What would his reward be? We're told in chapter 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. He will be wise, and he will know what it is to be truly wise. That it's not just to try to find a long life, and it's not just to pursue prosperity in life, but it's to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom. And that knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And he will also have a long life. Verse 11, "For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life." So he will find what it is to be truly wise. He will find where true wisdom begins. Begins with the fear of the Lord and understanding knowledge of the Holy One. And through that, he will have long life. Years will be added to his life. And he'll have a wonderful life. So this is the story that we see then in Proverbs 1 through 9. But now, what about us? How do we fit into this story? How does this speak to us today? Oftentimes, I think people struggle with the book of Proverbs because sometimes it can be difficult to read. You'll see the same theme repeated many times throughout the book. And some people will read it maybe just a chapter a day or maybe just small portions at a time so you can think about it, you can digest that, try to apply it to your life. And as you read it that way, I think you'll be very edified by the book of Proverbs. But some have interpreted the book of Proverbs in a manner that says, if you take the principles in this book and you just apply these principles, the guaranteed outcome, there will be a guaranteed outcome that will happen in your life. If you apply these principles, this is what's going to happen. The problem is, sometimes if we are applying these principles in our life, we don't feel all that much more wise. And if we've tried to apply the principles of Proverbs, we might be wondering why it doesn't seem that we're having years added to our life, but it seems that years are being taken away from our life, maybe facing death earlier than we thought we would, or earlier than we think we should. Why is that? Is there something wrong that we're doing in our own life? Well, I mentioned at the beginning that I think the book of Proverbs, the larger story, is that it teaches us about how to live in this life, and it teaches us how to find life that is eternal. And we have to remember to look at this book from an eternal perspective. And that I think the message we see here with this mother and father teaching the son is that they're trying to persuade him to take the wise path, to pursue wisdom, to pursue Lady Wisdom. And that's what the author of Proverbs is doing to us. They're persuading us to avoid the way of folly that leads to destruction, to pursue the way of wisdom that leads to life, and to have years added to our life. And the book of Proverbs isn't about, these Proverbs aren't told in order to justify us, but to orient us, to give us the proper orientation in life. We're not justified by applying these Proverbs to our life. We're justified through faith in Christ Jesus. By grace we've been saved through faith. That's what we read this morning in Ephesians chapter 2. So it's by faith in Christ that we are justified. And the Proverbs orient us to pursue the way of wisdom. And if we're pursuing the way of wisdom, that way of wisdom will lead us directly to Christ. And we're told in the New Testament that Christ is the most perfect personification of wisdom. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, Paul tells us about the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. We're told in Proverbs that wisdom is to be desired more than anything else, to pay whatever cost it is to get wisdom, that she's worth more than gold and more than silver, that we need to get wisdom. And we're told in Colossians chapter 2 that it's in Christ that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Listen to what the mother and father tell this son in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. They say, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swear for them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor." If we get wisdom, if we get understanding, that we will have this garland of grace upon our head, a crown of splendor. And we get wisdom first through coming to Christ Jesus. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul tells us, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." So in Christ, we find the power of God and the wisdom of God. And that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. And man, when people saw Christ as he was going to the cross, they thought that was foolish. That a Savior would die on the cross and that he would be the King of the Jews and die the death that he died, that's foolishness. Paul tells us that was the wisdom of God in sending Christ to die in our place. And so that's how we are made wise. First of all, through coming to Christ. And as we read the book of Proverbs, as we hear Lady Wisdom calling out, It's striking how similar the call of Lady Wisdom is to the words we see coming from the mouth of Christ as he lives his life on earth during his earthly ministry through the streets of Jerusalem, calling out to the Pharisees and pronouncing woes upon the Pharisees and the scribes, those who thought they were wise. And he's the one Jesus rebukes those who thought they were wise. And when Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem, he wept over that city because they rejected him. And his was the way of wisdom. They thought they were wise, but they rejected God's wisdom in Christ Jesus. And so we see then, how do we become wise? How do we fit into this story of the book of Proverbs? Well, first we pursue the wise path. We follow the advice of the mother and father. We take that orientation, we fix ourselves towards the way of wisdom, and the wisdom of God is revealed in Christ Jesus. And that's how we are made wise. And that's how we are placed on the wise path, by coming to Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it, but narrow is the gate that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's almost as if Lady Wisdom herself would have said that in the book of Proverbs. But that's the words of Jesus, and he tells us to follow him, to enter through the narrow gate, so that we can find life. And so when we're on the path of wisdom, how does this apply to our life? Well, I said, yes, we first come to Christ. And if you look back at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, you see that the knowledge of the Holy One is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And through him, our days will be many and years will be added to our lives. And so the years will be added to our lives in an eternal sense. For through Christ, when we enter through the narrow gate, we have life that is everlasting, life that is eternal. We get to dwell in his house and in his kingdom forever, delighting in his riches and in his glory, praising him for all of eternity. And so it's important to remember that. Now, as we read the book of Proverbs, it tells us, we've looked at the satellite view today, the panorama picture of chapters 1 through 9, but if you read through these, they tell us a lot about wise ways of interacting with people, about how we should plan our life, how we should view our plans, knowing that many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail, that he might flip them upside down. Tells us how to view wealth, tells us how to view the poor. We see all of these things in the book of Proverbs. And so it's important to remember the larger picture that's going on here, the eternal perspective of the book of Proverbs as we seek to maintain this path. Now, people often wonder about why, if you apply these Proverbs, do you still have pain and suffering? Why is it that you still face death all the time? Well, it's okay if we are Christians and you die poor, you're broke, you're busted. Poor, broken, busted. Yeah. Because we have something that's far better than anything we could have in this life. We have something that's far greater than gold, something far greater than silver, something that no one in the world or in the universe could take away from us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that we will dwell with him for all eternity. And so when we are well acquainted with our own human weaknesses, as Christians, that's a good thing, because we have nothing to depend on, nowhere to turn other than to Christ and to pursue Lady Wisdom. And if we're sick and tired, and we're tired of being sick and tired all the time, well, that's okay. Because in the life that is to come, we're told that there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, that we will dwell with Christ forever. So we live this short little minuscule life. That's our life right there. And then eternity is just massive in comparison to that. But this life doesn't even compare it. Well, how then does this wisdom apply to our life? Once we have this eternal perspective, we've trusted in Christ, we're on the path that is wise, that leads to everlasting life. Well, as we maintain Christ as our focus, and as we're focused on him, we also are told to try to imitate that which we are focused on. And we try to live like Christ. And we see then the Proverbs, these individual Proverbs, how they then can apply to our life. Because we're imitating Christ. We're imitating our Savior. We're imitating wisdom. And so that's how we learn to live our life. Now, I mentioned verses 8 and 9 in chapter 9. I find this so interesting. Lady Wisdom tells us, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Why? Because in their own eyes, they think that they're wise. And so they don't like it when other people come and say that they're not wise. They're focused on themselves. And by being focused on themselves, they are angry and they begin to attack others that try to correct them. Well, then we meet the wise man. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. This is a picture of a selfless person. that they're not absorbed with themselves. They're not worshiping themselves. They love it when somebody rebukes them. They love that person. They love it when somebody instructs them, because that person's giving them instruction that they don't already have, and they've just become a wiser person through receiving that instruction. And a righteous man, if you teach a righteous man, he will love that because you've just added to his learning. It's a picture of a selfless person. And of course, as we seek to imitate Christ, what more selfless act was there than for Jesus Christ to become sin? He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So through Christ, through that selfless act that he did for us on the cross, we become wise in him. And we're told to imitate him by being selfless. And we do that by keeping our eyes focused on the goal, maintaining that wise orientation, focusing on Christ. So that we can win that prize, which Paul talks about, the prize that God called me heavenward towards in Christ Jesus, the prize of the upward call. So why then do we have conflicts in the church and just in life in general, but in the church? What creates conflict? James tells us, James chapter 4, verse 1, that they come from desires that war within us. And we want something, but we don't get it. So we have desires, and we want something from somebody else or something in the world, and we don't get it. And that's what causes fights and quarrels. We're not being treated the way we think people should treat us, and we're not being happy and getting happiness from all these things in the world. What's the solution to that? The solution is to take our eyes off of ourselves and our own desires, and focus and the focus of trying to meet those desires in other people or in things of the world, material possessions, and focusing our eyes and those desires on Christ so that we can find satisfaction in Christ. For that's the only place where our desires for happiness and for joy and satisfaction and love will ever be truly met, and it's in Christ Jesus. Pursuing the path that is wise. Pursuing Lady Wisdom. The path that leads to life. The path that few find. But the path, when we do find it, gives us understanding. And it adds years to our life. And makes our days to be many. So if you're here today, and if you're like the son in this story that we've seen, who is being informed about the way of wisdom and the way of folly, you're faced with two choices in life. You can pursue Lady Folly, and her message is often one that sounds wonderful. It sounds nice. Her message is one that promises pleasure, but it's temporal. It's temporary, and it leads to destruction. And in her house dwells death. But we also hear the way of wisdom, the way that leads to Christ, and that though we may have a difficult life in this world, we know that through Christ we will live on, we have life everlasting, and that is the wise and smart path for people to take, to pursue wisdom. If you think back to the book of Genesis, when Eve was standing before the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the serpent was at her side, trying to tempt her to eat of that tree. And we're told that she looks at the tree. What does she say? So she saw the tree. It was pleasing to the eye. The fruit was pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. And she ate of the tree. And what was the result? The result was death. That was the way of Lady Folly. But through Christ, we can find life and salvation from the death and sin that we have to deal with in this life. And oftentimes, it's not the message that immediately sounds appealing. Oftentimes, it's like Lady Wisdom. It's the message of rebuke. Leave your simple ways. Turn from sin. Rest in Christ. And find salvation. And find justification from your sins. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the wisdom that you have shown us in it and the wise path that you have revealed to us in Christ Jesus, that through him, through resting in his work, we can have life that is everlasting, life that is eternal, and that we can have our sins covered by his blood. We thank you for that great gift and ask that you would help us to live our lives with our eyes oriented toward Christ, focused on that goal, so that we can live life wisely and on that wise path. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.